Good morning, everyone. Sounds of the 44th election in Canada, right? Every time the Prime Minister makes an appearance, every time he shows his face in public, that's what happens. Isn't that weird? Do you think he's going to get reelected today? Do you think he's going to get a stronger minority, right? Last time he had a very functional parliament in that he had the NDP and the Bloc Québécois that he could kind of skate between to get through policies that Canadians didn't really agree with necessarily, right? I sent out an email this morning, so I'll remind you, join the mailing list. We'll get into the election. It is a doozy. I think today's going to be a great show. Lower your expectations. I didn't mean to say that. But there's so much stuff happening, right? I think it's going to be a great show. So first, don't forget to join the mailing list. I sent my email this morning. I've been teasing an email for weeks. So join the mailing list if you want to get the next email. I'm sure it will be a doozy. Tonight, we will be having a election night meeting. I'm going to send out my Zoom link meeting if you want to join the kitchen table talks. We'll be publishing them. I think we're going to meet for an hour at 8 o'clock. So 8 o'clock till 9 o'clock. I'm not expecting to have a result. We might talk about PPC seats that we're getting or not getting. We might talk about what's happened today, because what's been happening over the last couple of days has just been wild and crazy, hasn't it? Right? I think it's been nuts. So sign up for the mailing list, sign up for the kitchen table talk for later on today. You can buy my book if you want to support the show and you use Amazon. You can click this link and that will support the show. So thank you very much for people who are doing that. You can also sign up on CanadaPoly.com. All those same things exist on CanadaPoly.com, except on CanadaPoly.com, you can buy the book without any of that filthy Amazon stuff. If you don't like Amazon, because there are people who don't like Amazon. I know Jeff Bezos, bad guy, blah, blah, blah. The world is a crazy place, man. The world is crazy. Like Jeff Bezos, I think, is going to be read about. And like, I understand part of the technocracy taking over the world is the Apple, the Walmart, the Amazon, the Google, right? Like all of these come. Google used to have the don't be evil in their business plan. And now it's like, well, you know, we got to take that out because, you know, business and stuff, right? You understand. Legalese, we can't have don't be evil. Do you understand who lawyers work for? Right? Anyway, so I understand all of that, but the world we live in, like the infrastructure that I use, the backbone of some of it is Amazon, AWS, like for sending emails, right? Like that's what Sendy works through, so that's what I use. MailChimp's even worse, right? Like if you want to talk about like awful censorship stuff, at least I can like host my own stuff, right? So, I mean, the world is a crazy place and blah, blah, blah. I'm talking too much. Let's get into the election, okay? Blah, blah, blah. There's lots of links that you can check out. Purple Ribbon Campaign. Somebody tore down my purple ribbon. This purple ribbon's gone. I walked by yesterday. I'm like, oh, man. So I can put another one up. Anyway, let's talk about the election. What happened here? This is a picture I've never seen before. Isn't Aladdin a lot more light-skinned than that? What draws Trudeau to dress in blackface? What draws people to leak pictures like this on the day of the election, right? Happy 44th election, everybody. I hope this is the thumbnail. I think I'll make this the thumbnail if I can't. I hope I can select it. Wild, right? This is the prime minister of our country. This is the prime minister who says he's an anti-racist. Anti-racist is code speak for anti-white. Yeah. So he says that and then behaves like this. I think your actions speak louder than words, right? I think you can say lots and your actions are what counts, right? So it's interesting. Here's a list of the accused, right? List of Liberal MPs, candidates, and staffers facing sexual misconduct allegations. So this feminist party, in that they will bully you and silence you and then remove you if you don't play ball with the big guys, right? Jody Wilson-Raybould, Jane Philpott, Cesar Chavanas, right? Selena. The Trudeau Liberals have several MPs, candidates, and staff facing allegations over the past few years. Here is a partial list. This is not even an exhaustive list. This is a partial list. Justin Trudeau, Raj Saini, Kent Herr. I don't even know Kent Herr's story off the top of my head. Darshan Kang, Marwan Taban, Hunter Tutu, Scott Andrews, Massimo Pichetti, Kevin Vung. Kevin Vung was removed recently because he's under litigation, and that's not part of the green light committee has to look at that and say, like, if they're under litigation, that would potentially make the party look bad, so they can't green light that candidate, right? So the green light committee made a mistake in overlooking the current litigation happening with Vaughn. But look at this list, right? It goes right to the top, right? It's not just one or two, right? Could you imagine if the People's Party had a list like that? The press would be having a heyday, right? As it stands, no heyday, right? Very interesting. Here's Justin Trudeau, and he is saying the vaccine passports How is this popular? I'm not sure.
Others. It seems like a...
And it seems like people believe the rhetoric that the vaccine passport will somehow keep you safe, like the vaccine keeps you safe. And, I mean, if you're in a car, you feel safe enough. You've got airbags and seat belts and all sorts of other stuff. But you still might get into a car accident and die, right? Like, you're hurtling through on a road at 100 odd kilometers an hour. And, you know, people are listening to music and tapping the steering wheel and stuff. And, like, terrible things happen despite all of our best intentions and security around that, right? Like, there's all sorts of, you know, you can't drive as fast as you want on the highway. You can't do X and Y and Z. But they can't guarantee your safety. I think it's really strange that they're trying to guarantee your safety from an illness when the fix they have doesn't seem, like, it doesn't stop you transmitting it. Doesn't stop you giving and getting it. That's the same as transmitting. And so this rhetoric is strictly, to me, it has nothing to do with the reality of the immunity that the vaccine offers or anything like that. It has everything to do with wedge driving. And that's why I keep talking about this. It's not that I want to talk about vaccines and efficacy and all that other stuff. I'm not smart enough to weigh in on that crap. The reason I'm talking about this is because this has nothing to do with that crap. It has everything to do with divisive rhetoric. Everything to do with divisive rhetoric. And he thinks he's got a license to keep spewing this garbage, right? Here he is, Justin Trudeau.
We're paying for the provincial vaccine passports to make sure that when someone comes into a restaurant, they'll know they won't be sitting beside a table of people who are unvaccinated. When you go into a gym, when you go to a movie theater, you need to know that if you've done the right things, you get to be safe. You get to be rewarded for having done the right things. That's what it's all about. And those people who still hesitate, who still resist, well, they won't get to enjoy the same things that those who've done their part for others. It seems like a very logical thing. It seems like a very obvious thing.
No, if the vaccine works, you should have the choice to use it or not, right? Like, this is very coercive, and the government getting in on this, and the federal government has specific jobs. Paying the provinces to institute a vaccination passport in flying in the face of our charter, not one of their jobs. Like, the provincial government is responsible for service delivery, like driver's licenses and things like that. So you'd think movement licenses would be a provincial jurisdiction. And the federal government's saying, don't worry about money, we'll pay for it. Just put it in. This guy's gonna be reelected today, you think? Like, I've already voted, right? Don't know if it matters. Doesn't seem to, right? But just strange, the rhetoric, everything that he's using to divide is what Canadians didn't tolerate about Harper, right? That's what they were told Harper was. So everything that Trudeau's doing is, and I don't want to, like, Trudeau's bringing up the ghost of Stephen Harper too, right? But the comparison is interesting in that, I guess if you're around long enough, you become the bad guy, right? But Trudeau was the bad guy right away. Make no mistake. Excuse me. Manitoba court rules man who claimed curb though he wasn't eligible does not have to repay the money. Darn it, I told Nader. I was kidding. I said, yeah, why not? Let's sign up for it, right? But it would be a bad idea because that's fraud, right? So I guess fraud is okay if you're talking about money. But watch what happens for somebody who tries to create a vaccine passport that's fraudulent, right? They'll throw the book at him. Here's where Justin Trudeau misspeaks and invokes Harper. On the last day of the 2021 campaign in a Vaughan backyard in a pitch to progressive voters to stop vote splitting, Trudeau pulls out references to Stephen Harper. People who want to stop Stephen Harper, I mean Aaron O'Toole. But this is the hair and socks electrifying the world Time magazine cover prime minister in a backyard, and the backyard's not full. So there's that, right? And not full, like, I mean, it's a big backyard, make no mistake, but you can clearly see Trudeau. There's like a line of people, one deep in some places, three deep in its deepest places, and then smattering of people kind of scattered about. And Trudeau up on a little stage there talking. This is not a good crowd, not a good turnout for a leader who is wanting to be reelected. Now, there's a lot, like, Canadian politics are kind of different than American politics. The leaders are elected in a different way. Like, he has to get elected in his riding. And I mean, if he doesn't get elected in his riding, same with O'Toole, they could take a spot from one of their other people who did get elected in their ridings to sit in the House of Commons and become, and sit in the leader spot. But you have to get an MP willing to give up their spot, right? But this doesn't look like a prime minister who is on the road to being, you know, firmly reelected. So I wonder what we're going to see today. Right? Get out and vote. See what you do. See if you can impact it. I don't know. Here's a crowd singing O Canada at a PPC event in Westlock, Alberta yesterday. So I'll just a little taste. Don't stand up. It's okay. I've been a part of, what's the word? Hold on. There's a word. I can't think of the word, but I've been parts of crowds where suddenly O Canada starts being sung, in a PPC rally or otherwise. And it's quite powerful, really. And, I've never seen crowds of liberals doing this. Haha, right? It would be like Democrats singing the national anthem in the United States. But I've never seen conservatives doing this in Canada either, which is kind of interesting. This is a new phenomenon for me in Canadian politics. The PPC regularly sings O Canada before events. So that's kind of cool. I think that that's kind of neat, right? Like it's one of those traditions that's kind of fell by the wayside and shouldn't have. This is a September 18th EKOS poll, EKOS poll, okay? And this is reported at 338 Canada, okay? Liberals, 32. Conservatives down 7 to 27% going into the election. What are they setting up for here? NDP, 19. Down 1 from what I'd seen them at, but whatever. PPC, 10. Plus 8. Bloc, 7. Green, 4. Green has not moved, man. Between 2 and 4% for the Greens. The PPC's got 10%. That's interesting. On the 18th, eh? I wonder what kind of movement between the 18th to now. That's very interesting. I can't even watch this. The kid is just, he's crying. He says, why? No, I can't watch it. Maxime Bernier says, acting like sadistic monsters is the new normal, unless you decide that enough is enough. Two-year-olds are masked in New York daycares now. Exempt your kids. They should have body agency. Body agency means they get to choose when to have the mask on and when not to have the mask on, and nobody else, right? And when you go into a situation in a school, when it's a teacher's job to keep masks on kids, then the kids lose body agency, right? They can't choose because the teachers have a job to do, and they'll do the job, right? Which is terrible. Rav Aurora says, I just noticed this. Independent Canadian voices have a consensus on Maxime Bernier being the best choice for Canada. Myself, Michaela Peterson, her last name is Alekis, I think, Lauren Chen, Nicole Arbour, Lauren Southern, and Jordan Peterson agree. Establishment parties have all abandoned individual freedom. Yeah, and it's very important that we have individual freedom respected and retained. And if without it, we're a communal communist society, and that's not good for everyone. It's not, despite what they sell you that it is. Aaron O'Toole is panicking, says Ezra Levent, asking grassroots populist conservatives and lockdown skeptics to back him. This after expelling them from the CPC HQ and refusing to talk to conservative media and having one of our reporters arrested. What's the sales pitch exactly? You got me. Like, uh-oh, I'm going to lose. Please don't vote for the PPC. It'd be real embarrassing. Like, don't split the vote by voting PPC, O'Toole tells supporters on final campaign day. Good luck. Good luck. Here is them talking about if Aaron doesn't perform here, he's done. He's out. Ixnay O'Toole. I can't speak Pig Latin. Here we go.
But if he doesn't win, what happens to his viability as a leader?
I think that we'll see what happens, but I think that Aaron O'Toole took a gamble in terms of how he's running this campaign as opposed to what he ran on his leadership campaign. And so I think that if he is not declared the winner of the 44th general election of the 44th parliament, I think that he will have a hard time staying on as leader.
Is that right? And because the factions, what, some of the factions that he courted on the leadership, the social conservative faction, the Harper conservative, they'll just feel like, This election
more than 2019 was winnable. If conservatives do not win this election, it was entirely winnable because we led the polls for at least 2 weeks. Never has there been a time to unseat Justin Trudeau for people that do not support him. So that is what I think, regardless of what stripe of conservative you might consider yourself, that's what they'll be.
But if he doesn't win, what happens to his viability as a...
It's kind of like the Toronto Maple Leafs changing coaches every couple of years. And, like, they haven't won since, what, the 60s? Like, the 1960s? Fine. But every time, and even in the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s, they were buying players to, like, try and get into the Stanley Cup, to win a cup, to just, you know, get that whole cup thing out of the way. And it never, ever worked. Just like... the conservatives keep trying to parachute a leader in that's going to win right now, going to win the unseat that Justin Trudeau. And they don't talk about anything that matters to anybody. They just try and get a leader in there who will appeal to the right blocks. And they stack the blocks like stacking blocks, right? And it's like, well, you've got 100,000 voters here for this, and you've got to really talk to these. This group needs you to talk about this because we need to count these in the win for your path to victory. Instead of going and saying, listen, we can't do this. Like, this isn't Canadian. We can't do X, Y, Z. The leadership is terrible. But anyway, they're saying if he doesn't win, he's done, which is not surprising. Jagmeet Singh. Oh goodness me. I showed my wife the next slide or the next tab last night. I said,
1 is actually 11. The power.
I said, okay, I'll show you because I have to show you. I showed my wife this before we watched a TV show before bed last night. And I said, the best thing to come out of this election is realizing how much of an embarrassment Jagmeet Singh is. And here is a real thing that he put out really for real on his campaign. And she said, no, hold on. Is this serious? Are you serious? He put this out for real? This is something that he did? And she said, look at his tiles. Look at the tiles. You are not like the other people, Jagmeet Singh. Look at the tiles in your bathroom. Okay, here we go. This is a real thing that he put out. Wow. Do you remember when Dido was the big thing? Dido and then Eminem, sampled it. Oh, it's going to do this. Okay, so I'm going to describe this for anybody who's just listening. It says, Yankee says Canada isn't a serious country. And the video is a 9-second video with the Dido clip that we just listened to. And it's got Jagmeet Singh sitting in a very expensive bathtub with the shower running. And he's fully clothed. He's got like a collared shirt on. Is the collar popped to his beard? It looks like maybe there's a collar popped to his beard. Anyway, and shorts. And he's sitting in the shower, which is on, and he's holding a howyouvote.ca sign that's NDP orange. And the caption is, when you don't make a plan to vote for the NDP on Monday, September 20th. And the whole thing is so jarringly strange that I think that he thinks that this is going to resonate. Is this going to resonate? Is Jagmeet Singh going to knock this thing out of the park? He's this is Babe Ruth pointing outside of like the field, right? And is he going to actually hit this home run, right? The TikTok era, if this works, I'm just going to be sad, right? Here's another video. He's talking about using texting. One person with a vision is a powerful thing. Two people coming together to fight for better. That's what changes the world. Help us fight for change. Text 3 friends right now and join together tomorrow. Vote for better. Right. So he's really, really aiming for the kids' vote. I don't know that it's going to work out. We'll find out today or later this week. I think that probably later this week. But I hope we find out today. That'd be lovely. I thought this seat projection was spot on and hilarious. This would be wonderful if this happened. I would laugh if this happened. Maximum chaos, says Dr. Mike Moffat. And LPC, 135. CPC, 135. NDP, 33. Bloc, 33. Green, 1. PPC, 1. That would be hilarious, wouldn't it? Oh man, nothing would get done. Nothing at all would get done. Oh my goodness. So yeah, here's Andrew Coyne says 149 for the Liberals, 128 for the Conservatives, NDP 31, Bloc 28, Green 2, and PPC shutout again. That's Andrew Coyne's projection. So, I mean, grain of salt, right? I don't know how realistic either are. I've seen the 120s to the 130s has been where a lot of the seat projections are lying. So it looks like the Liberals are losing a lot of seats. Well, not a lot of seats, but they're losing a percentage of their seats. So politics takes time to change. Although I don't know, I'm very suspect about our system. I am. I'm very suspect about it. Restaurants in Ontario are being threatened that they will get their liquor licenses pulled if they don't turn away unvaccinated people. Yet the government-run liquor stores open to unvaccinated people. You getting this yet? Kill small businesses left with government-controlled business. Yeah. Yeah, it's targeting small businesses. Justin Trudeau admits that the vaccine passport has no medical rationale. It's simply a reward punishment mechanism for doing what the government tells you to do. And he's saying, if you're a good person, there's no evidence that the vaccine prevents transmission. So good people who got the vaccine still can transmit the vaccine. And people who got the vaccine can get breakthrough cases and get sick and die. So what the heck's the point of the vaccine, the vaccine passport, Justin? I've already played this clip, so I mean, and I hate listening to Justin Trudeau. If he doesn't get reelected, I'll promise to only quote him and never play him again, unless what he does is so stupid that we need to actually watch it. This is the Emmys last night or whatever. Oh, this is from Ted Lasso, and is this Charlize Theron here? Right. So Charlize Theron runs over unmasked. Everybody's unmasked. Oh my goodness. Are they inside? This isn't outside. What's happening? Right? Dogs are married and cats living in harmony. Oh my goodness. I think that the hypocrisy is kind of funny because the rules for them are they can all hang out unmasked and blah, blah, blah. And you and me, right? That's illegal. And if people are unvaccinated and whatever, turn them away. Right? I don't know what their vax status is here. Are they all vaxxed? They may all be vaccinated, right? If they're all vaccinated and they can do this, what can we do this? Right? How come we can't do that? Right? If that's the rules, right? I think the rules are going to change. Alberta's considering offering exemption to proof of vaccination to those who can prove they have been infected with COVID. Cue the COVID parties. When I was a kid, it used to be that you would go over to the kid's house who had chickenpox because reasons, right? And well, because you wanted to get them chickenpox, because the older you get, you could be made infertile by chickenpox, so I heard, and it was less severe when you were younger, so better get it when you're younger than to get it when you're older. So they had these chickenpox parties. So like, are we incentivizing COVID parties? Like, if you don't want the vaccine and you want your own immunity to this, right? Like, yeah. Or if you think you've already had it, they charge $75 to get tested to see if you've had it. They don't want anyone talking about herd immunity or natural immunity. Premier Jason Kenney implored to seek military backup as Alberta healthcare system crumbles. Really? Military backup? So yesterday I started seeing tweets about the military being called in Alberta, and I thought, oh my goodness, what has Jason Kenney done now? It's this. This was happening in Ontario last year. But the thing is, this is August. You have to wonder, I wonder, why we're so much worse now when 75% plus are vaccinated than we were last year when 75% when we had zero vaccinated, right? I was going to say when 75% weren't vaccinated, but there were zero vaccinated last year, and we were much better in August than we are now, and much less restrictions too, because people weren't tolerating them. Out for dinner with friends, says Dr. Catherine Smart, and she's got a blue check mark, so take it with a grain of salt though. She says, we all remarked on the joy we felt showing our vaccine passport and looking around the restaurant, knowing everyone had done the same. So this is, again, manipulating you, hijacking your base programming of a human. We are group creatures. We're pack creatures. We want to feel joy with our friends being in the in-group too, right? And she's saying, oh my goodness. It's like having the star of Melrose Place, because this is a doctor, right? So somebody who's high status within the hierarchy you want to promote, right? So you get a celebrity to do this. She's got what, 6,000 likes. So this is an influencer, okay? She's got a large audience. So she's saying, oh, I felt so much joy. So you're going to breed in other people the desire for that joy by doing the same thing. You're breeding a demand for this thing that you've paid this influencer to propagate to say, you know, I really want this. Very scary stuff, man. Very scary stuff. And this, if this is a doctor, this is some sick stuff. I felt an overwhelming sense of gratitude to these fellow citizens. This is my Canada, caring for each other. Communist, ridiculous drivel. It's propaganda nonsense. And I'm just like, you have to call the nonsense garbage out because it's crap. This is no vaccine passport. And people aren't anti-vaccine. People are anti-mandate. And the news conflates and misrepresents that. Here we go.
No mask pass! No mask pass! No mask pass!
What's mask?
No mask pass! 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 No mask pass!
Yeah, man. There's lots of people protesting, lots of people saying no vax pass. The media reports that as anti-vax protests, right? So there's a difference. Justice sent her letter to City of Calgary regarding mandated vaccination policy. We write regarding your letter of September 3rd, 2021, sent to City of Calgary employees demanding that they get vaccinated by September 13th, 2021, or face discipline up to and including dismissal. We raise the following legal, medical, and scientific issues and look forward to your prompt response. The policy ignores existing natural immunity. Your vaccine requirement does not recognize the enhanced immunity possessed by individuals who have already had a COVID-19 infection. For example, Science Magazine recently discussed an Israeli study which found that the natural immune protection that develops after SARS-CoV-2 infections offer considerably more of a shield against Delta variant of the pandemic coronavirus than the two doses of Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. Maybe that's influencing Jason Kenney's change here, right? Or here? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Very interesting. Very, very interesting to me. Here is, we're going to talk about the nurses shortage. So the newspapers are now reporting on the terrible state of the hospital staffing. And the beds, the number of ICU beds are directly tied to the staffing numbers. Buildings and beds mean nothing. We have lots and lots of buildings. You could put up a tent and put in 400 beds in the tent, and then you don't have 400 beds. You have as many of those beds as are staffed, as you have nurses to look after the sick people in them. Okay, that's what the staffing means. So when they say they have 300 beds and everyone's starting to report staffing crises, they don't have as many beds as they're telling us they have. They're saying that the healthcare system is collapsing, but they're firing nurses based on their vaccine status. Does that make sense? Does it make sense to destroy your healthcare system to make sure that nurses can't spread a disease that has a 99% recovery rate, 99.7% recovery rate, based on your age? There are variables, right? Does that make sense to you? It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense at all to me. It would be like destroying our healthcare system for the flu. Does it make sense? It would be like destroying our supply chain for the flu because somebody might get sick. Does that make sense? It doesn't make any sense. Here's something that does, though. Here's something that, if you wanted to remove resistance, if you wanted to take out the people who would say, this isn't right, how would you do that? You'd be left with a staff of people who are not questioning anything at all. You'd be left with a staff of people who drunk the Kool-Aid, so to speak, right? You'd be left with a group of people who are willing, if you say jump, they say, how high, right? You want me to take another shot? Yes, sir, right? My magic pen. Here's the thought process around this. What's happening here? It's very concerning.
There is one thing that's been concerning me lately that I've been reading online, Canada and the United States. Service people about to resign. I'm sure you've heard about the 14,000 Canadian service people that are gonna resign because they don't want in their body. In the United States, you have the same thing. There's also police, firemen, National Reserves, they're all going to quit because they don't want, you know what? Here's what concerns me. It's the ones that stay behind that have no problem with it. Is this how the Gestapo started? It's like I want to beg all these servicemen and women, stand your ground and fight. You can't leave because if you do, there is no one left to protect us. It's worth a discussion. I'd love to hear from all the service people, stitch this, make your own videos, start talking about it, but please discuss this aspect of it because that could seriously get ugly.
if you went to the hospital and all of the nurses refused to see you because you're unvaccinated, right? Sorry about your luck. And there's not one nurse who says, this is wrong. We're supposed to give medical care to everyone, right? Like, there are fat people who get medical care. There are alcoholics who get medical care for their liver, right? Like, there are medical care does not depend on your good choices. Humans make bad choices. Medical care is there because we make bad choices. Oh, you were climbing in the Ellora Gorge, were you, and you fell down, and then helicopters and rescue people had to climb down and get you? You're not paying for any of that, right? The hospital doesn't get to make a judgment call on your behavior. Sorry, they don't. And the fact that they're trying to is incredible. Here is CTV News reporting on this. Much of the burden of caring for COVID-19 patients in BC has fallen to nurses. Friday, they demand relief from the BC government. So this is that. Exhausted, overworked, and facing brutal criticism, BC Health Authority appeals for patients' vaccination amid staffing crisis. They're using it to say we have to get vaccinated. A BC Health Authority is sounding the alarm about a staffing crisis in one of its hospitals. In a Facebook post Friday, Northern Health said staff at Fort St. John are exhausted, overworked, and facing brutal criticism from the public and insults on their shifts. Calling this behavior unacceptable, the health authority explained that the emergency department at Fort St. John Hospital has only 5 permanent registered nurses. The department has totaled 20 nursing positions, Northern Health said. This requires nursing staff to be pulled from other services to support ER operations, the health authority said. This means that in some cases, there may be just one nurse available on a given shift. Northern Health's statement matched those of healthcare workers around the province who have spoken to CTV News Vancouver in recent weeks. They've described already under-resourced hospitals being stretched even thinner by the surge in hospitalizations during the fourth wave of the COVID-19 pandemic. The problem predates coronavirus, however, and it has been compounded by some healthcare workers leaving the profession or quitting full-time positions to take part-time roles where they can better control their hours and avoid burnout. On Friday, nurses held rallies at the constituency office of Premier John Horgan and Health Minister Adrian Dix to demand more action to address the chronic understaffing of BC healthcare facilities. In a Facebook post, Northern Health said it's doing everything in its power to address the shortage of nurses in Fort St. John. We're currently working to recruit and hire for these nursing positions, recognizing the applications are very limited, the health authority said, adding that it expects to fill 4 full-time positions by January. By January, and then you have to train people? It's getting dangerous, says calls grow for federal action amid Canada nursing shortage. So this is September 15th, and this is Global News reporting. 2 decades into a career she once loved, Toronto emergency room nurse Nancy Halupa says she is almost ready to throw in the towel. I don't think I can do a fourth wave with this kind of staffing, she told Global News. It's not good for my mental health. It's not good for my family. It's not a workable situation anymore. Across the country, hospital staff are leaving their jobs at an alarming rate, and that's prompting experts and healthcare workers to call for more action from the federal government. Nearly 1 in 5 job vacancies in Canada is in healthcare and social assistance, according to Statistics Canada. In early 2021, those sectors experienced the largest losses year over year compared to all other sectors. Weekly overtime increased to 78% on average from May 2019 to May 2020, the Canadian Federal Nurses Union said. According to CFNU, that number jumps to 137% in Quebec and Ontario. And this is even before coronavirus. So our healthcare was in a precarious situation beforehand. And now they're trying to fire nurses for not getting the jab that they shouldn't be allowed to mandate. I don't know how they can mandate this, right? This is a whistleblower in the UK. Worth it to listen to, but I think probably beyond the scope of my talk here. I listened to him yesterday and I thought it was worthwhile. I'll see if there's anything compelling. Hold on, I'll just do it again, just see if there's anything compelling for a little taste. But it is interesting. He's saying, one thing he talks about is children. He says he hasn't buried any children, right? None. So what's going on here? Something else. Hold on, I'll find that clip. Okay, here's the part where he's talking about it. Now, at the beginning of this part of the video, like this is a video in 2 parts. At the beginning of this part, he says that he thinks that once kids start getting jabbed, once kids start getting the booster shot or the Pfizer vaccines or whatever vaccines they're giving out, and he's British, so maybe AstraZeneca, I'm not sure. He thinks that will drive an increase in children mortality. That's what he thinks. And he thinks that they'll pull crisis actors and all sorts of stuff. So I don't know if that affects your view on his credibility, but he's a funeral director. He thinks that him coming public will endanger him. He said he knows his time is numbered on being able to speak out. So anyway, this is what he says. He's got a big network of other funeral directors, and he's talking about childhood mortality in COVID-19. Here we go.
In the now, do you know how many children I've had in, or that I've heard through my network of funeral directors in maybe a 50 or 60 mile radius, children that have died from COVID in the last, well, since it began? Not one. Not a single child has passed away from COVID that I'm aware of. And I would be aware, because it would be big news, you know. I don't doubt somewhere they will magic up some child that's and label them with a COVID death, because they've done that with many other deaths. There are no children that have died from COVID. So there is no reason whatsoever to put these gene therapies into children.
So, I mean, take it with a grain of salt. Take it as more information for you to
think
about.
There's a funeral director working on the coal fact.
But I think it's certainly interesting what's going on, and the manufacturing of this crisis, the backdrop of the election, the othering of unvaccinated people despite the reality of what's happening within the context of the vaccine and being able to spread it. It's very, very well, it's too much for anybody to even comprehend, really. There's so many things going on that it's too much for any person to be like, okay, taking into consideration this and this and this and this, I think, you know, like, wow, there's so much happening. I don't know how you could properly at a societal level have a conversation about it, right? So, man, we're so lost, I think. We're very lost. We're very lost as a society, and we're lost in a way to communicate effectively about it. And what used to be effective, what used to be a way that we could like have the House of Commons communicate, and then that would be disseminated around the country via the honest press, that all of those systems don't seem to be working, right? Like, all of those systems seem to be usurped to other means and ends and purposes, and the end result is it feels like we've gone through an election cycle. And people believe the election's about nothing, but most people don't understand that the election was called to cover Justin Trudeau's ass, right? And keep documents hidden about the Wuhan lab and the Ebola and other items that were sent from the Level 4 lab in Winnipeg to the Wuhan lab. The major general who was a Chinese, the major general who was working in the Canadian Level 4 biolab. There's so much stuff. How could we possibly? And the press hasn't done their due diligence at all. It's been, oh, those People's Party and this and that. Like, the big story of the election has been trying to be Justin Trudeau has protesters and they're real evil. Like, and that's not appropriate, right? The press has not done us, they've not done their job, and they've not done us any favors. And they should be ashamed of themselves for their coverage of what's happened in the last 18 months, because they've allowed this to happen. They've allowed this to happen as much as Trudeau's made this happen, as much as the premiers have allowed this to happen, and so on down the chain. And maybe it's the citizens' fault. Maybe it's our fault for not pushing back hard enough and saying, no, you can't do this because we are free people. But I don't know how to encourage people to do that more than I already do. And I don't know how effective it'll be, because I've seen what they did to the United States and people pushing back hard, powerful people pushing back hard. So I don't know. I don't know what to instruct you or encourage you to do. I won't instruct you to do anything. That's not me. Encourage you to do. Stay safe out there, I guess. Go vote if you think it'll help. I'm not sure. I'm not convinced. I'm not. I wish I was. I wish I was like, yeah, man, our system's great. And if you just get out there, eventually our voices will be heard. But I know history too well. I've seen it take far too long and foreign intervention to get to move the needle on what's right, right? I watched Julian Assange spend years in an embassy and then get moved to Belmarsh prison. What's his crime? Isn't he a journalist? Don't we have basic rights for journalists in the United Kingdom and Canada and all sorts of the United States? How has the world sat by and done nothing about this? And we claim to be a free society that prides itself on being able to really, you know, engage with the hard problems. How have we not had a national conversation on abortion that is not framing it as women's health, that takes into account the death that you have to take, the price of this, right? Because, like, there was a time in Canada where it was illegal. And is there a conversation to be had for you know, preserving the health of a woman? I don't think so. I don't know, but I don't think so. I think it's that's a red herring that was able to wiggle in there, and we haven't had a system that's been functional since at least 1988, because we haven't been able to have a clear, objective discussion on something like as simple as that, right? And again, we call ourselves, an enlightened human society, right? We are better than the animals, right? Right? Sure we are. Sure we are. Right? Go vote, I guess. Maybe, kind of, sort of. That's enough out of me today. Thanks for watching, everybody. Check out CanadaPoly.com. Check out CanadaReport.co. Check out SpeakingWisely.co. Tonight, I will be doing a kitchen table talk. If you want to come and hang out with me during election results time, I think probably 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, I'll be at the Zoom meeting. We'll hang out. We will chat. We will laugh. We will maybe cry. Probably not cry. Unless Justin Trudeau gets like 207. And then we might cry. Thanks for watching, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.